Hello, everyone. Good morning and welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. And we got stuff going on this morning, don't we?
Right?
Of course. You know what? I'm telling you, it's just too weird. So Alisa has alerted me to the fact that the roofers are at your parents' place. It might be noisy. I'm expecting a maintenance crew to show up to figure out what's going on with my bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at us. We're just two people. Yeah, we just have to always be in this energetic pee pod together. What the hell? Like, really? It makes no sense. If you were to take her in column A and put me in column B and just say that over all these years, that all these literal energetic experiences would happen at the same time in real time through very different circumstances and life experiences, we'd be like, bitch, sit down. But what? What is going on? Honestly.
So I think the stuff where we don't overlap is where you overlap with Anna.
You know what, bitch, that's so funny. I didn't even think about that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God, that is so funny. It's true, and it took me 12 years later. Oh, happy anniversary, because I know it's coming up, whatever. Okay.
Sometime this month, like the 18th or whatever.
I think so. Yeah, happy anniversary special.
Anniversary.
We've got a month long. It's the Lois Effect anniversary month. Yay! Okay. Whatever. Oh, my God. That's really funny. And you are really, actually, I can't even dispute that. It's the two of you. That is hysterical. How did you all, and the pun is intended, weather the storm? I can't even, because I heard it was bad over in South Carolina.
You know, it wasn't as bad. Like, all, you know, we in my area, my part of the neighborhood, we never lost power. It flickered a couple of times.
Oh,
but,
well, that's a relief. That's great.
Yeah. We never lost power. We've had a lot of tree limbs, not like the whole limbs, but like, you know, debris. That's
right.
Normally with big storms like that, it was a lot of rain. It was a steady, heavy rain, a lot of wind. But we were very lucky. Earlier the day it was supposed to come, it was tracked to go directly to us, and it ended up moving a little further north, so we didn't get the brunt of the storm at all. So very fortunate. You know, we've got roofers. We were planning to get a new roof anyway, so whatever damage was going to happen, well, it was going to be addressed today. So as far as, we haven't heard anything yet. They're still taking stuff off the roof, the shingles off the roof, and then they have to assess what's going to happen, you know, the state of the plywood underneath and, you know, that type of stuff. But, you know, we didn't have any additional leaks. So I think we fared quite well, all things considered.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. That's wonderful, and it's been a derivative, obviously, here, but we've had nothing but rain for the last couple of days, and we know that it's like fallout from what everybody had to go through in the southeast and in the south, and I can't even imagine. And it's in New York, it's really funny, like, you know, people just, we went from like the depths of summer to where's our winter jacket, like overnight.
Right.
Overnight. And just random people are in the elevator or whatever. Like, nope, we're not complaining. We're not in the South. We're not in Florida. Nope, we're good.
Yeah, Florida got
we'll take
really,
it. Florida
really
got
hit. I think by the time by the time that hurricane came up to us, it was, I think it was down to a category. Well, it was down to a tropical, like a tropical storm.
Right.
But I mean, it was a category 4 hurricane when it hit, when it hit Florida.
It kicked Florida's ass. Florida really, really took the hit. So anybody out there, you know, we feel you.
So by the time it got to the Atlantic side of things,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was down to just a tropical storm, but it ramped back up to a category 1.
Oh,
but, I mean, you know, but that's, you know, it's so interesting because when you grow up with hurricanes, you know, category 1 is like, okay, we'll just stay in place, you know, we'll have some food just in case we don't have any power. You know, it's not to take that so lightly, but
but in perspective, we know.
Yeah, we've been through, you know, worse hurricanes.
Absolutely.
And did not evacuate and stayed and, you know, lived to tell the tale. Not that I would recommend that to anybody.
You shelter,
but, you know,
you shelter
my brother
in place.
Was saying, my brother was telling us maybe you guys should evacuate. And you know, I'm looking at Dad and Dad's like, no, we're good. We'll stay. Because I think one, he's just tired of having to move around.
Oh my goodness. That poor man. He has
and then
didn't
have to drive back, you know, 5 mm-hmm. hours or whatever to still, you know, still the same problems are going to be there. Just messier. So, you know, it was fine. I mean, we were mm-hmm. lucky because I was noticing on Facebook where people were letting us, you know, letting people know, and now the power's out, you know.
Right.
But because
of
the storm was not that strong
Thank
by
goodness.
The time it hit here,
uh-huh.
that was manageable. I mean, I say that mm-hmm. from my point of view because we never lost power. But for other people, it may have been like, okay, we were out for a few hours, but it got back on. So, whereas some of our friends who are in Florida, you know, it's been a few days, and it's just, there's just so much more to deal with when a storm that big hits you that it's not just getting through the storm, it's the aftermath. So anytime, and this is, you know, like this metaphor, because stuff is jumbled around. You know, things got uplifted, torn apart, transported to another place, transformed in some way. And it's, you know, in the moment, all you can do is just, okay, well, I just need to stay safe for this moment. And you try to stay as present as possible as things are taken away, as you lose power, you know, and depending on the time of day, it could be at night and it's just pitch black and no air circulating, you know, all the discomforts, all of that. And you just have to make it through. You have to prioritize. Okay. Well, is it that important that I keep on, you know, on my phone or whatever, or is it important to reserve that energy for when you really need it? And so you just start to figure out what's important and what will get you through the next few minutes, the next night, whatever it is. And then, and we do this even with hurricanes. If you know, we happen, we talk about the eye of the storm. It literally, when we know it's hit us, and there's that moment of peace for like, it's like halftime of a football game. Oh, first half really crazy. Halftime, mm-hmm. you get to go outside, you assess the damage as best you can, make some adjustments, or try to, you know, salvage what you can, or make sure things aren't going to fly around and cause even more damage. And you go back in and you hunker down for the second half of it until it's done. But then afterwards, there's cleanup. And there's always going to be cleanup mm-hmm. of some sort. There's always something that, you know, because when so much has been displaced, mm-hmm. it's not like, okay, woo, sun's out, woohoo. You know, it's like, no, you got, for us, we have pine straw everywhere. There's, you know, twigs mm-hmm. and, you know, little branches everywhere. Dad had to... he had to clean off the driveway, just covered with pine straw. So, you know, there are things that you have to do, and then you really
That's
have
right.
to look. You know, you look at the external and see, okay, what's really taking a hit. I mean, that's just what you do in these storms. And mm-hmm. I think everyone has a very practical approach. Like, I guess up north, there's stuff that you do when you know there's snow coming, a big snow. You know, there's
You go to liquor store. I mean, you go to the supermarket, and you go to liquor store. Right. Make sure you have all your stuff. Yep.
Yeah, and that's just provisions. That's not your physical. It used to be back in the day, you know, we would have to tape up the window. So if it smashed, you know, if it got shattered, the glass wouldn't go everywhere.
Right. In anticipation of Hurricane Sandy, that's a lot of that happened, like the storefront of like and the businesses and all of that.
Yeah.
Because it will take a hit. Well, I am relieved, and I'm sure our listeners as well, to hear the aftermath is you know, manageable. And again, what a blessing for your parents to have you. I'm sure you're feeling, you know, even if it's subtle, even if it's energetic, it doesn't need to be said. But particularly from your father, I'm sure you're feeling the relief. Mm-hmm. It's priceless. Your presence is priceless. You know, it's beautiful. It's really setting the stage for how you guys are.
Uh-oh. So Liz just got dropped for some reason. Very interesting. Let me send her a text. You just got dropped. But I see what she's going with this. It's true. I've spent a month now with my parents in various settings from traveling, which is really the whole point. Well, not the whole point, but that's usually where I spend the most amount of my time now, is when we take these trips. But for the last month, it's been in these different forms of traveling. Hello, you're back on.
Hey, I know. How rude. I know.
I know.
I'm like, call failed. I'm like, excuse me. I'm trying to call back. And then you're texting me. I'm like, they're not letting me in. How rude. How dare they. Anyway, finish your thought.
Well,
we're in the middle of saying something.
I was kind of going with what you were saying is that, well, for the better part of a month, I've been with them in different settings, from vacation mode.
Exactly.
To, you
it's
know,
crazy.
Emergency
been,
mode.
Like, really
healing mode to another emergency mode.
Interesting.
And now it's like repair mode. And we're just trying to plot things out so that the priority is obviously the roof and then mold removal. And so as soon as this is done, we're gonna talk to the people who come over. And in the meantime, you know, my dad has definitely been working with me to go through. He's in full 9 year. He's like, okay, well, let's just get rid of this. So there are things that's so funny. I'm looking through. He's getting rid of clothes. Mm-hmm. He's like, these are out of style. I'm never going to use these. These are too big for me, because he's lost a lot of weight. But you know, some of it's still really good stuff. So I'm like, oh, let me try this on. You know.
Know what? That's great. Oh, I love that. It's a piece of him. It's good stuff. You know me, but the fashion, like, there's just different ways to repurpose and upcycle. I think that's wonderful. But look at how this is really inciting a shift and a change. And you know what? There is no more only way to compress and minimize the distance or the illusion of the distance. You know, like, we're in our heads about so much, and we make up these things, these dynamics about other people, and usually they're not true.
Mm.
Usually it's about unfinished business or what we need to look at or what we need to shift within ourselves. Mm. It takes situations like this to shake up the dynamic of a household. And no, of course you don't live with your parents, but you are a unit. And I think this is shifting. And what's great is that you're starting this with your dad, like, he's in the nine and all of that. It's just the flow. Then it doesn't have to be such a big deal when it comes to your mom and the stuff that you want to deal with in terms of storage and organization and getting rid of things. It's almost like the situation has made this happen. Like, with everything in my apartment, literally my past has exploded. That's what this is about.
Right.
That's what this is about. So it's been 2 months of living out of bins and garbage bags for this major stuff to happen in the apartment. And then the ceiling falls down in the bathroom a week ago Friday. And now we're dealing with that repair. And that's going to take a series of 4 or 5 visits. I mean, by the third week, the end of the third week of this month, will be good. But I've begun to very methodically with my space, really look at everything before I find a home for it. And I threw out so much. When we were prepping for the other situation, which is now pretty much resolved, but now it's the aftermath. What you're talking about, like the aftermath of the storm, it's literally dealing with the aftermath of the storm while we're dealing with another one, meaning the repair of my bathroom ceiling and mold removal. Aliva.
Right.
Bitch, what the hell? What please? What is the congruence is going on? What the hell? And to really look at how have we perceived when we felt sort of removed or that we were left to our own misperceptions. I'm going to say it deliberately, misperceptions of our interactions and connections with other people, in this case, family.
Mm.
And I mean, talk about going down and dirty and doing shadow work. Like it's 8 weeks. It's no joke. I'm like, let's go, you know, and I'm going to be that canary in the coal mine. Hopefully I'll come out to say it's safe, or if you don't find me, you better look for me because I'll be on the floor someplace. You know, like the jury is out. And I have completely shifted how I've been interacting with my immediate household, how I've been interacting with myself. I think I talked about this on the last show that it really was a come to Jesus, like with the whole imposter syndrome and how I felt I had to act and behave. And I'm like getting rid of all of that. When I'm getting rid of all the debris and all the stuff, right? I'm getting rid of the emotional debris, the persona debris. I'm getting rid of all of it. And I'm really seeing very subtly yet very tangibly in my day-to-day life, how it's out picturing in my work. And what I think this happened after Thursday's show, I was offered from another casting person who wasn't able to do it. I was offered like a casting gig. And it just didn't feel right. I wasn't compelled by the story, how many hoops they wanted me to jump through. And I very confidently passed, but I referred somebody else.
Okay.
I felt good about all of that. Less than 5 minutes later, and not even worried, like, oh my God, I shouldn't do that. Nope. Just very, very clear, very confident email from NYU, and based on demand, my former students were in a class that it was lecture-based, and I think it's been going on for about 5 weeks whenever the semester started, September 1st, so it's, you know, 5 weeks, whenever it was, and the semester is 14 weeks. And it was lecture-based, and it was just these talks with people in the industry, mostly actors of some success, just having like a Q&A or like lecture-based. And I get an email from the general manager of the program, and she's like, yeah, your students have enjoyed, you know, your former students have enjoyed the series of lectures, but due to demand, they want you back because they're about to graduate. And they really want to work with you. Would you be available starting October 17th?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? And it's
so
afternoon.
Good.
It's amazing. I still have my morning off. But I'll technically will be there 2.5 days a week. And I'm like, thank you. And just that confidence of turning down a casting job that really would have caused me a lot of duress and stress,
right,
and pulling rabbits out of hats. And I wasn't just compelled. There was nothing about it that compelled me. And if I'm going to be on the front line for your project, I need to care about something.
Right.
And I wasn't engaged. So it was just so beautiful to get that request, to say yes. And what's so beautiful, it starts on what was to be the last day of the work in my bathroom. So I just rescheduled that for another day.
Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness. To just feel that acknowledgement. And also I've shifted where there's such, look, I really pride myself on being a really good instructor, professor, whatever the hell you want to, professor, whatever you want to call me, prostitute, whatever you want to call me. I pride myself. But again, I'm unmasked, the imposter syndrome. I mean, we are slaying that lifelong dragon. So it's not going to take overnight. It's taking me, you know, a couple months. And it's congruent with all the chaos, which we're all benefiting from. Like you're benefiting from that chaos. It's shifting. You're becoming so clear and so true to who you are. And you're showing up in that grace and in that dignity and in that support that you need nothing else. And I'm sure that it's more like you're acknowledging more of the humanity and the vulnerability of your parents, and your parents are expressing more of the gratitude and really seeing you as a fully formed person, which is hard, you know, because it doesn't matter how old they are, they're still going to treat you like a 13. So the fact that there's evolution in that is amazing. And it's such a subtle shift. We think it might be these grand gestures and this huge change. It's so subtle because it's at a quantum level. It is so, so, so subtle. But you feel it. I could tell in how I'm communicating with my kids. I could tell with projections I was doing to other people. It was psychotic, in a sense. I mean, I would keep it to myself, but just what you would do in your mind, at least I was smart enough not to, you know, let that bleed out. But that's the discipline of doing this kind of work and having a refuge like doing the show 12 years. I think we're going on year 12. Doing this show and to articulate that and to have a safe space. But I told you the latest thing with safe space. We can't say safe space anymore, right? I told you about that?
No. What's up with that?
Oh, girl. Oh, honey, the world of academia, it's I find it so amusing. And how ironic that you're such an academic and your girl is, like, living in that. Like, how weird is that? What happened to that? I think it's so funny. Oh, yeah. So what's great is I can share these crazy things. You know, when you hear behind closed doors in academia, like that, they'll have like these meetings, and you know, sometimes we have to Zoom people in, and then they destroy the recording after it's been done, so that there's no record of what's being said. Not that anything's being in a bad way or whatever, but just to minimize anything blowing up. We didn't have to do that in the past, so I thought that's really interesting. But yes, you can't say this is the safe. I mean, look, we can say whatever you want. I'm just making fun of this nonsense. Listen, just give me my check. And as long as the kids are into what mother has to say, we're good. All right, but with my check, I'm good. Let me keep my job. So the latest, let me just keep my job. Because these young men who live with me, their appetites are increasing. And I've had to, you know, I've had to increase my groceries and cook the amount of cooking by like 30% lately. It's insane. Mother needs a job. So you cannot say a safe space, because I think it's just people are reading so much into this nonsense. Not all spaces are the same, offer the same degree of safety to everybody.
Okay.
So I guess the privileged person, which is nonsense, the privileged person's safe space is like, you know, their parents, a penthouse. As opposed to, well, listen, we're dealing with a lot of privileged people where I work. Their parents' penthouse or their parents', you know, estate in France, or their compound in Korea, and I'm not making this shit up. This is like, I'm really cherry picking. Or the person, say, space, who, you know, which is the homeless shelter, which really isn't a safe space. So now, look, a safe space could be a safe space, whatever you identify it. Like, stop micromanaging the categories, in my opinion.
Right.
Whatever. But they're micromanaging because people are terrified. They're terrified of being canceled and shut down. They're terrified of the students walking away. The students run everything. And I'm like, thank you, students, for requesting mother, because I will keep my job more than anything else because of them. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, we have to say, courageous space.
Wow.
What does that mean? Yeah. It's a courageous, I will never say that. I'm not going to say safe space either. I'm not going to say courageous space.
Very
interesting. I'm not going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I kind of want to. Oh, yeah. I want to put that. I want to put a pin on that for a moment because we do have a hand raised. But I think I do want to circle back around at some point. If not this show, then another show, the next show, or whatever. Because I think it's important to see this process and what it means. I guess as big a picture as we can talk about it, but why these distinctions are being made, why, you know, even
I know it's fascinating
what you can say,
why?
You know, the fluidity of gender, all these things that, you know,
we are under a microscope.
Yeah.
We'll have to put a pin in it because it is a conversation. And before we take the call, I just want to acknowledge Marguerite and her family and sending good thoughts for her son, Josh. And we just want to hold space and a courageous space. No, we're not saying that. We're not saying that. We just want to hold a sacred, pure, unconditional space for Marguerite and her family, and claiming that all is well. So we just wanted to do that. Okay, let's take the call.
All right. And this is area code 201. Good morning. You're on the air. Caller, who's this?
Good morning. This is Jackie. Hi, ladies.
Hey, Jackie.
Wow. As soon as I logged on, you were speaking to my situation at work. I don't know what you said before, but it's ironic. It's confirmation.
That's right. Because you work in the school system, right?
Yeah, and I transferred to a school right around the corner from my house, which is supposed to be a premier school. And I got here, and everyone is privileged, and it's falling apart. But yes, he's coming to town.
What was your last sentence?
The grand old wizard is about to land, and I want to see how they respond because they're so petty, and I just want to know how to handle the end.
I'm
sorry. Apparently, hold on, Jackie. Just hold on a minute.
Okay.
Apparently I hit a button here. I didn't realize I was hitting a button. Sorry, go ahead. So
I'm just trying to figure out how to handle the energy because there's so much that we have to do. Everyone seems to be pampered.
And
insecure.
Right.
So I don't want to be the excuse, and I definitely don't want to be the lab.
You don't
want to
be the target. You don't want to be the target.
No.
And you don't want to be the person, you don't want to be the scapegoat, you know, or the whipping boy. I really get that. So this is what I'm getting very, very clearly about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, I'm all about the energy. Now, I'm not about the story. I'm not about the situation. Okay.
Right.
I want to be very clear. I'm about the energy. It's going to start with you. It's going to start with you. And the challenge is, Jackie, to really soften, if not neutralize, any judgment coming from your end, which will be a challenge, okay? Because that is just going to mirror judgment about you. So that if you are in this situation, understanding this is the lay of the land, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, like you heard me, okay, because I'm dealing with NYU, so you know that is no joke, and there's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of privilege and a lot of stuff going on from, you know, from my bosses to the students to everything in between. right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really keep my cards close to my vest.
Okay.
And I do more listening than talking, and I am very present,
mm-hmm.
and I am very, very clear, and I am very supportive, and I'm a team player. I leave it being the solution, not the problem. And
yes, but that seems to be the problem. It's like
what
you need a solution, and it's a problem. But go ahead. Keep going.
It doesn't make sense to me.
But
do you enjoy the job, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, then you just live where you enjoy it. And that's what I do. I live
mm-hmm.
where I enjoy it. I live
mm-hmm.
where I know, like you, Jackie, that you're making a difference, that the
mm-hmm.
students do respond, because they respond to real. Okay? So you just be in that place, that eagle eye, bird's eye perspective. Don't get into what the other stuff is going on. And maybe because your mind is so ahead of it, your mind sees the bigger picture in terms of skipping the 10 steps to solve the problem. And what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying is you look at it like a strand of pearl, like you go one pearl at a time, okay? Because you
mm-hmm.
are, energetically, you are at an accelerated place. So you feel kind of like you're in the fast lane, everybody else is in the slow lane. So guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Find the mid lane.
Okay.
Find the midway, because you're seeing it, you're very accelerated. They don't need to know that about you.
Okay.
You let it unfold an hour at a time, and you ask yourself, can I get through the next hour? Let
okay.
me ask you this question. Did you get through the last hour? Did you get through from, I know you're in Jersey. Did you get through from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m.?
Yes.
Did you get through it? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Right. You're going to. Yeah, yeah, and do you think you're going to get through 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock? And what about 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Then you got this. Don't project. Don't add gas to the fire. Just slow it down. You're really,
okay.
really smart, and you're really bright, and you can MacGyver anything. But guess what? You don't have to. Maybe in the public school system, you know, and I have a child who's in the public school system, so I understand, like, how the teachers have to be, how the administrators have to be, because it's, you know, it's New York Public School. It's a war zone.
Yeah.
You are not in a war zone. And you are not in a war zone anymore.
Okay.
Okay, so shift your dynamic for you.
Okay.
You have the convenience. It's down the block. You got your check. You're dealing with children that are more comfortable than what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
There you
mm-hmm.
go. So you get comfortable with where you're at, and just
okay.
all of that brilliance, roll it out on a quantum level. It's all about the energy, and whenever you feel like you're judging, neutralize
mm-hmm.
that, and really think about, like Abraham Hicks says, really think about what is it that you would like to feel. And I started doing that with my relationships, you know, with my kids, with other people. What is it that you want to feel? As opposed
okay.
to they're doing this and they're doing this to me, and they're not
so
doing what I want them to do.
Chairs, and we play musical chairs because I set up, and you push me in a corner.
Exactly.
You're
not
moving
doing
my
anymore.
Feet like I'm a kid. Just,
you're not,
just change the seat.
You're not playing anymore. You're going to sit down on your throne like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing musical chairs anymore. No one's kicking you out of no chair. You sit in your throne, mm-hmm. collect your check. You are very, very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And let the system work for you. Let the system serve you.
Okay.
And that's it. That's it.
Okay.
I'm going to pass this on to Elisa, but I feel that energetically, that's where all of
okay.
what I'm saying is coming from. Not the story, but the energetic. Okay, so I just want
okay.
to see if Elisa
okay.
has anything to contribute to this. All right, baby.
Okay. Thank you.
No, I, well, Jackie,
yes,
I mean, the thing is that you know, a lot of times we're spiritually ahead of ourselves and we're just waiting for like our body to catch up, for everyone else to catch up. And the toughest part is, well, when you, is one, figuring out that that's what's happening, you know, that, okay, I've spiritually and mentally gone ahead. And the frustration is that not everyone else, no one else is in that same space as you. And so that's where all the advice that Liz is telling you, it totally makes sense. It's smart, because a lot of times you'll end up trying to fix everything or try to, you know, because you have that vision, but a lot of times it's
which
really
I
not
do not want
fit.
To fix everything.
Yeah. And it's
I
not yours, and it's not yours to fix anyway.
Thank
so,
you.
So
that's right.
That's perfect. So I'm just, you know, just looking at when this happens, because it happens to us a lot where we're so advanced in one area and we're aware of so many things, but we can't physically make those things happen any quicker or any easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just has to unfold. So it's like having to sit and wait, which is hard because then you're still looking at what they haven't done or how much more they have to do.
What it feels like to me? You know what's my frustrating point? I feel like I'm the pink elephant in a room full of china.
Well, you're not. You're not. It's a new situation, and everybody's adjusting to the, you know, to the addition. You know, and it's September, so you just, you know, it's going to take a minute. I mean, it's October. It's going to take, you started in September, rather, or whenever it was, recently, October.
Yes, I started
and I
in
say,
June when I was here 1 week
right.
in June. And then I went out.
It's gonna
my husband had gotten sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I would
and
say
I don't
by want to
be the scapegoat.
You're not the scapegoat. Don't claim that. You're not.
Right.
You're not. And you want to just, oh, you know, when you're thinking about, okay, I got through this hour, the next hour, whatever, and I am protected, you claim that you are in a golden light of protection. And Alisa has said this tip many, many times in the show, and it's something that really helps. You imagine roses around you. You're surrounding people with roses, red roses. Imagine that. That's really going to deflect, you know. It really helps. And I do that. Listen, I'm in the streets of New York City, and when I see like crazy, I'm like, I throw on the roses and they walk away from me. It's amazing how it really works. I also imagine that I'm in a cylinder of mirrors that are reflecting out, like I'm in the middle of a disco ball. And so all of that is spinning, but it's spinning out. It's not, I am not reflecting. I am letting that bounce back to where it came from. It's really about protection, and you regarding and loving yourself to be in a protective situation. And you are not the scapegoat. You are not. You will not allow that to happen. You're going to shut this down. You're going to nip it in the bud. But I would say by the time it's like Halloween, like between Halloween and Thanksgiving, this is going to be so minimal what you're feeling now.
Okay.
Yeah, and
I want
it would be
to
great
on in my life, and I believe I manifested where I'm at right now. Considering we're going back, you ladies and I, are going back to two different places. It was very small and compact and petty, to a bigger place that was extremely toxic and overwhelming at times. And I juggled on one foot. Everything
and you got it done. There you go.
And when it was time for me to leave, I got so many thank you and so many acts of appreciation afterwards.
There you go.
But
there
during the storm, nothing. And then to come now and be in the situation.
You have the faith to know that that exists.
Okay.
And it's not up to anybody to show that to you. You got to know that within yourself.
Okay.
And then you'll get the tangible, like again, this is about judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with you.
Okay.
And just because you're not judging doesn't mean you're drinking the Kool-Aid and you're in agreement or you're buying into it. You're just not judging. You are really dealing with the shadow self. You know, you're really dealing with what is it that I have been projecting to that I think that I have to play this part. And then and then if you unmask that and you go to this place as an educator, you know, that you're, what's your legacy? What are you leaving? What's the purest part? You know, what's the purest part of you? Let that overtake the judgment. And I'm not even thinking about judgment or scapegoat, because the consciousness of this energy of what I'm describing to you, it feels sacred. Where's the sacred energy? What is your legacy? Where, you know, these children, the pure spirit of them, that's what's going to shift all of this for you, Jackie. And we should let you go, because there's a lot going on in the background. We should let you go. There's a lot going on.
Yes. Thank you. I'm at a performing arts school. But
yeah,
thank you, ladies,
yeah,
so much.
We love that. And remember, the spirit of all of that, you tap into that pure, beautiful joy. That's priceless. You can't put any, you cannot standardize that. Oh, I love that she's in a performing arts school.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
I can relate to that.
I needed to balance my brain, you know, instead of being so left brain.
No,
but
no,
it's
this
just
is good.
Been challenging
is,
because,
of course,
you know,
is.
The academic push.
Yeah, but it's new. You're fine. You're
right.
Fine. You just got to back it down. And listen, I'm dealing with college students. A lot of them have gone to performing arts school because I'm in the film department at NYU. So I'm dealing with all the fame, right? All that, right?
I know from that.
So what I'm saying is I'm very well familiar. It's so joyous. It can be so joyous. You got to look for the joy and see the spark. And that's what you need. So really mute the judgment. And it's not all on your shoulders. You're just used to that with your personal life and your professional life. Up to this point, it's not on your shoulders.
Not on my shoulders.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you have, like, you know, tension in your shoulders or the base of your neck or your back a little bit. It's all connected. It's all connected. Maybe book yourself a massage and let's keep it moving.
Okay, keep it moving. Well, that's what I do.
Keep it moving.
When I move. When I move through the crowd, I feel it. I see it. But at the same time, you know, I pretty much have to get to a place where,
You got to let it go.
Let it go.
I would really love, you probably will be resistant to this, but it would be amazing if you could book yourself a massage. I don't think you're going to do it, but I would love for you.
It's not that I won't do it. You know what's going on? Right now, my finances are so tight. And I know I could probably carve away because I'm trying to move.
No, just when it's ready. No, it's all right.
I'm trying to move.
You know what? Let's stop. You're putting too much on your shoulders. You don't just, it will let things roll out. Let it roll out because this is just making a constrictive energy. Okay?
Okay.
So you know what? It's like, instead of saying I'm trying to move, say I'm looking forward to moving.
I'm looking forward to moving.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that feel a lot better and a lot less oppressive than I'm trying to move?
Okay.
Yeah. Like I'm looking forward to when my apartment, which is in a shambles, is reorganized and back to whatever. I'm looking forward to those things, but we're not like in the freaking foxhole feeling so oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward. Okay. Work with that. And then whenever in a couple of weeks, whenever your schedule allows, just call us back with an update, but sit with everything that Elisa and I have said to you.
Yes, I have to.
And I would suggest, because there's a lot that we both said, that you download this show and you listen to it again.
Yes,
so you
that's
can
what
really
I was just
hear.
About to tell you.
Because
well, I
need
to remember it. I mean,
yeah,
it
you
does
do.
Feel different in a strange sort of way.
Yeah.
It does
that's good
feel
because
different.
This is metamorphosis. This is the caterpillar chrysalis energy. And I say this a lot on this show. The caterpillar always feels like it's dying before it gets out of the chrysalis and turns into the butterfly. That you're in your chrysalis energy right now.
Okay.
All right. So
okay,
cut the thinking in half. All right, girl. You sound great.
Please let me listen so that I can make it to the end of the show.
Of course.
All right,
of course,
darling.
Of course.
Bye.
I have this period. The good thing I have this period free, so now I can catch you guys live.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
All right,
and
darling.
I just want to breathe
okay.
through it. Have a blessed day,
just
ladies.
Breathe.
Namaste.
You too, sweetheart.
You too.
Namaste.
Take care.
Or what I say to my students, trauma stay. The trauma in me recognizes the trauma in you.
Trauma stay.
I go trauma stay. I go trauma stay. Oh, yes.
It sounds like you're asking. Sounds like you're asking the trauma Tuesday. So that's why I was like, nope,
yeah.
No, thank
no, trauma. Did I, no, but isn't that wonderful how she sounded at the very end when she was saying goodbye? Just
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
yeah. She just yeah. softened those edges.
Oh, that was
you
good
know?
Though. The whole addressing the energy of the constriction of it, because I was feeling that too. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah,
but
right,
that's also
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we're
yeah,
all
yeah.
feeling that. But it's a nice reminder
mm-hmm.
to.
Right.
Just, you know,
soften it.
To relax a little bit. Just, you know, just when you're aware, like when you're aware of how shallow your breathing is and you can breathe deeper, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Woo, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it can be yep. these little things, these little moments where you make that adjustment and you when you can feel that shift, you're like, okay, well, I want more
yep.
of that. Instead of like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be that person. It's like, well, what is it that you do want to be? Well, we can start
mm-hmm.
focusing a little bit more on that versus what you know you don't want, because we already know.
Mm-hmm.
We know. I would rather not be like in a house full of just a bunch of stuff that has not been sorted through in 40 something years. You know. Yeah. You know, that's
right. Yeah, girl. Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Yeah. So I. Mm-hmm. She is so much more ahead of herself, like.
And she realizes, yeah.
Right, right. So I think it's a nice reminder. And really it's these little choices you make to not continue to drive yourself crazy, you know, because you got enough other outside influences that you're looking at. So
right.
to get your own house in order, literally and figuratively, makes a huge difference in it. And it can, you know, it can aid in that. And okay, let me just take a moment, because sometimes getting your house in order is just taking a moment. And a lot of things
yep.
like physically tend to get back into alignment when you give it that time and that space, you know, just to breathe.
Right.
And it
right.
is not a matter about you having to do something or getting in some crazy position. Sometimes it's just, you know, just sit down. Just sit down and breathe.
Yep. Just sit down.
Yeah.
Just sit down. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
amazing.
One of the things that you had talked about, you know, with you unpacking your life, you know, with your house, with your
oh
apartment. I mean, that's sort of what's going on here too at this house.
Yeah, I know.
And,
of course it is.
And of course, yeah, with stuff coming up. I mean, I'm sitting in my old bedroom, which has never,
Jesus.
Which has not been used as a bedroom probably since the mid-90s.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Because, well, when Hurricane Hugo hit in 89, that was two trees went through the house, and the only room that really wasn't messed up was my room.
Wow.
Everything was kind of put in storage here, because
uh-huh.
I guess this was the safe space, right? Okay, we can put it here. There's no damage to the room.
It was a courageous space.
But it's sort of been crowded ever since. And
right.
even though, like I was still in college, so this was where I lived. I mean, it was, you know, it was manageable.
Right.
But after I moved out, it's like, okay, well, this is my dad's office, but there's more stuff in here. And
right.
I'm literally sitting in an office chair, and there's probably... there's a path to get to this chair from the room, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's it. And I'm looking at things like, well, there's just boxes of books. There's boxes. I mean, there's just boxes
mm-hmm.
everywhere. This is the room they don't
yep.
use. And,
wow.
And there's, you know, there's two other rooms, you know, so there's a lot to look through.
Oh yeah. Literally, there's a lot to unpack, literally, and a lot to
yeah.
get rid of. It's crazy. Oh,
and
yeah.
it's just being patient with you know, with my mom and my dad, and seeing, okay, well, what are they up for? Like, my dad has done a little bit every day to go through his stuff. He's ready to do that. And that's been good. And with my mom, you know, I think she's been doing some stuff on her own. We've had some.
You know what? It's perfect. Yeah. Let her do her thing. Focus on your dad.
Yeah.
And it's just energetically. And there's no time constraint on it. But the fact that it's being dealt with now, as opposed to some sort of crisis that you got just, then it's a shambles. No, we're not doing that. And I gave myself no time frame. I have, you know who Marie Kondo is, right? The act of tidying up.
Yes.
I am Marie Kondoing everything. And I'm like, this could take me 6 months. I don't care how long this takes me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm color coding, I'm organizing, I'm getting rid of, I don't care how long it takes. I'm starting with MySpace, as I said earlier. And if there's no duress and it's just like, okay, this is what I'm doing, it really helps to have mindless television on in the background, you know, just something shallow and you know, just to get through that. But I spent the whole weekend, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, it was really messy out weather-wise. And I spent 2 days, and it really could take me 6 months for the apartment to go back. I don't care. However long it takes, I also have the goal of, I talked about this in the spring, of getting my affairs in order, you know, medical paperwork, medical proxy, a will. Those, like, no, this is literally keeping house. And what do you need? What do you love? I mean, it's everything that you know, you're thinking about. But I think the approach and how you're doing it, you know, in tandem with your dad, and then allowing your mother to just sort of step into it. I'm drawing a weird parallel, but it's like, you know, with my high schooler. You know, it's like, okay, this is what's going on. You are showing up to school. Thank you, Jesus. You are going to school, but I am not going to be that hypervigilant person on the verge of a panic attack because you're not doing things the way that I want you to. We're done with that. It only hurts my central nervous system.
Right.
It's not doing anything for me, and if there are consequences, you're gonna have to deal with them. And the fact, and I don't know how he did it, but I'm so proud. The fact that he figured out what he needed to figure out to get promoted to the 11th grade,
hey,
huge. So I have the faith that he will figure out 11th grade, he will figure out senior year, he will graduate high school. We will figure out, I don't believe, but it could change. I don't believe investing in college is the right way for him. That might change. We'll see. But we're keeping all the options open. But he has to do it his way. And as long as I'm being the responsible parent, but I'm not going to be the oppressive, punitive parent, I have to trust him. Parallel with your mother. It's weird that I'm trying to parallel between your mother and my son, but I am. Parallel to your mother, slowly that switch, it's like a dimmer. They're both on a dimmer, you know. So slowly it's like, okay, it's going to gradually get a little brighter, but incrementally on their own time, and they'll find their rhythm with all of this. But it's almost like you and your dad are leading by energetic example.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden that switch goes off. When my eldest son was in high school, I used to lose my mind with the oblivion, with the time management. And now he's 23 and he's working full time. He's so disciplined. He is really doing things around the clock, and he's living his life. He's getting his act together. He's fine.
Nice.
So why can't that be the same for my youngest? And again, it's like what Jackie was talking about. We want to wrangle in there. We want to get in the mix of it. And we are neglecting our humanity. We're neglecting, you know, our sense of self, our energy, so that we feel like we're not neglecting them. How do we find that balance where we're honoring ourselves and honoring them, but still doing our due diligence? Mm-hmm. You know, when you were talking to Jackie, walk into his bedroom to say, "You gotta go to school," you know. Yeah, I did. And then I walked away. And then in 5 minutes, when the show is over, I will do it again, but I'm not going to lose my mind.
Right.
You're 17. Figure it out. I'm in close contact with the school. They know where to find me. I'm holding a courageous space. What a crock of shit. I don't even know what that means. Couldn't tell you. Don't even know what that means. I will never say it. So now I joke about it. I just joke about it. I joke about it with my friends. I just joke about it with my friends. I'm like, okay. Just joke about it. It makes no sense. I have no idea. Yeah. Yeah. Letting things breathe. You know, and do you feel like the edges are softer because you are taking this approach with your father and that the circumstances that were very surprising, your father getting COVID, the roof needing to get repaired, the air conditioner, you know, very parallel to me, things out of our control. Do you feel like it's propelled you to a different energetic shift, a different dynamic? Do you feel like the edges are softer? How does that feel for you?
You know, I would say yes, because partly it's because I've been here with them, you know.
Exactly.
For
right.
So long. It's, you know, and I'm, but, you know, we have these highs and lows, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's normal, sure.
And, you know, just the occasional flare up, which some of it's like, okay. Just
of course
witnessing some of the shutdowns, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is bringing back, it really brings me back to, well, what did I learn as a kid? Because this is pretty much what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I see it as an adult, I see my part in it, or, you know, what I've absorbed from that, mm-hmm. and how I acted out in my own relationships, and I realize, oh, wow.
Yep.
You know?
And what this is doing, this is rewiring your brain. Go ahead,
right.
Keep going. This
yeah.
Good.
So
everybody.
So I'm, mm-hmm. I've had to just, you know, like there's no forcing it. Just sort of like what Jackie was going through, like feeling frustrated, because you can kind of see, well, you know, if I can explain it this way, but in most cases, most of the time, I'm not going to be heard, literally, you know?
Right.
So figuring out, okay, then energetically, what can I do? Like, I have to calm myself down and always try to lead with love, which is so hard sometimes.
Isn't it though? Yeah.
Not because I don't love, you know, my parents or my mom, or, you know, I don't love, it's not like I don't love them. It just means
of course.
how to express that and still feel like I'm getting something done. You know, so
right.
I did quite a few meditations yesterday, the last couple of days.
Yeah, good for you.
And it's just
you.
Like realizing, mm-hmm. okay, well, you know, could drive myself crazy, but I know that,
yep.
like, I know
you're
I'm
taking
helping,
care
I know
of yourself.
Taking care of myself, trying to take care of,
yep.
of dad, because he's asked beautiful. For help. You know, he's asked for help.
Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And because he
right.
asked, look at how it shifted everything. Like, look
right.
at the grace for his ask. That's the
right.
gateway. That's the portal to everything. And you're doing what you need to do. You
yeah.
know, it's like I have the meditations on speed dial. Like, just to, you know, or if it's really, no, for real. And if it's really crazy, I'll just, like, close the door and I will just sit quietly and take 10 deep breaths and
yeah.
then figure it out. And then figure
yeah.
it out. But this is you know, creating systems in place to take care of you. And again, we are so fortunate to have this show, to have each other, to have our audience. This is why we've been doing this for so long, and we will continue to do this for so long. just to be grounded. But I'm very proud of you because I can feel the shift energetically where this is going. So I applaud you. I really applaud you. I really, really do. So on that note, if you all need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com. And we'll be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love y'all. Bye.